when you came in tonight. Hopefully my buddy Mr. Randy handed you your outline. He's very thorough about that, so I'm sure you have it in your hands. Now would be a good time for you to take that out as we begin our study in our new series. You know, the day that we do our baptism here at Westbridge has long been the highlight of my year. And last Sunday did not disappoint me. I sat by the pool at about 4 o'clock. We had started at noon, but I sat around the pool at 4 o'clock. And I just kind of took in what was going on. And I was overwhelmed by the sight of our church family fully engaged in the happiness and childish playfulness that God offers us. See, for that moment, sitting there watching the church family at play, I felt like there was just not a care in any of our people. Just an intense grip on living life to the full. And so I sat back in Mr. Cooper's lounge chair and I thought, this is how it's supposed to be. Life being lived to the full. Casting our cares on God and enjoying good, clean, wholesome fun. About an hour after that, I was pulling out of the driveway, wishing, quite honestly, that we could all just stay right there and live in the Cooper's backyard. I wish we could just stay there forever and play volleyball, eat incredible Polish food, and swim in the amazingly clean water. But Jesus made it pretty clear that he doesn't want his candles hidden under a bowl. Instead, he said that we, the lights of the world, we are to shine on the hillsides that he places us on. We are a shine for everyone to see. So as I drove home on that beautiful Sunday afternoon, I thought again of our baptism. And there was one statement in particular that inspired me. It was our 100th baptismal candidate. God must have had it all scripted way beyond what we could program. You see, our 100th baptismal candidate asked at the end of their testimony if I would be willing to teach them to be a Jesus freak. And so I agreed, of course. And so I would like to use tonight to honor my promise, to speak to our baptismal candidates and to honor my promise and, quite honestly, to speak to the whole Westbridge Church. Because, you see, symbolically leaving our old life under the water and coming up to a whole new clean life, guess what? That's an ongoing process, isn't it? It's an ongoing practice. We only get baptized once, but we're constantly becoming who God wants us to be. The Apostle Paul gives us some very, very clear Jesus freak instructions in the book of Ephesians. I want to look at them tonight. We're not going to use the center screen for this. I want you to hear it the way Paul's audience would have heard it. You see, Paul wrote down letters, scripture, what became our scripture. He wrote letters and he sent them off to these churches that met in places very much like this. People's homes, people's hillsides, anywhere they could. And they would read the letter in its entirety from Paul to the people. Well, I don't have time to read you the entire letter, but I want to read you a good portion of it. And I want you to take it in. Just sit back and enjoy it. This is from The Message, and it's chapter 4, verse 17, all the way through chapter 5, verse 10. Paul is talking to the Ephesian people, and he's telling them, hey, you know what? This is really cool, this finding God and becoming who God wants us to be, but I got to tell you what, we got to continue to lose the old life, and we got to keep embracing and finding and uncovering the new life. And so, Paul says this, and so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession. addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you've paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten, through and through. Get rid of it. Then, take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into our conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Now, what this adds up to, then, is this. No more lies. No more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other, after all. And when you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead. Be angry. You do well to be angry. But don't use your anger for fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Did you used to make ends meet by stealing? Well, no more. Get an honest job so that you can help others who can't work. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Every word, a gift. Oh, and don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, all backbiting, and profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and as thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious. His love was extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Don't allow love to turn into lust. Setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty. Don't talk silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our lifestyle. Thanksgiving, now that's our dialect. You can be sure that using people or religion or things just for what you can get out of them, the usual variations on idolatry, well, those will get you nowhere. And certainly nowhere near the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. Don't let yourselves get taken in by religious smooth talk. God gets furious with people who are full of religious sales talk, but do nothing with him. Don't even hang around with people like that. You groped your way through that murk once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your path plain. So no more stumbling around. Get on with it. The good, the right, the true. These are the actions appropriate for daylight hours. Figure out what will please Christ. Then do that. What Paul and God are commanding here is that the old way of life has to go. And God's new way of life, well, that has to be put on. This is not optional, gang. It's not optional, baptismal candidates. We read this, sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion,
that's no life for you. You learned Christ. You've been well instructed in the truth. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten, through and through. Get rid of it. And then, take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Being a Jesus freak will begin by seeing the old habits, seeing the old practices, seeing the old desires that led to heartache, seeing them go. And at the same time, we have to swap in God's truth. It all has to be replaced by godly actions. We trade in for the desires that Christ has for our life. Paul is very specific here about those items that he's talking about in our lives. I want to identify number one tonight. Here's what we're going to go with. We're going to read this passage. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. So you want to be a Jesus freak? Jesus freak instruction one. Turn off the crowd and tune in the Bible. Jesus freaks, we cannot get our advice. We cannot get our counsel, our life instruction from the crowd. That crowd is the world around us, the society we live in. And why can we not do that? Well, the Bible says that the crowd has lost touch. They've lost touch not only with God, they've gone further than that. They've lost touch with reality itself. It says they can't think straight anymore. One of the fastest growing advice columns on the web is Dr. Steve. Dr. Steve, people love Dr. Steve because they say we like his in-your-face, honest, street-level, dirty counsel. That's what we like about Dr. Steve. Okay, let's see what Dr. Steve has to say. Here's a letter to Dr. Steve. Dr. Steve, sometimes I can be too negative. My adult kids say that I'm pessimistic and critical of everything and critical of everyone. What's your opinion, Dr. Steve, on thinking positively? Okay, let's get the world's opinion from Dr. Steve. Here he says, thinking positively is overrated. What you're doing by going negative is simply surviving in a world filled with liars and backstabbers. Thinking positively is reserved for children or dangerously naive adults. There you go. Dr. Steve says, believe only in yourself, no one else, and you'll avoid disappointment. Hope in nothing that you cannot see or hold in your hand, and attempt only what is honestly within your reach. You'll be better off for that. Negative thinkers like us, we see the hypocrisy. We see the problems in the world. And that's the real first part of change. That's Dr. Steve's advice. I will put Dr. Steve in the category of lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. He can't think straight anymore. Although his website's doing quite well, it doesn't matter to me. You see, 2 Corinthians 10:15 says this. What we're hoping for is that our lives increase in faith. Philippians 4:8 tells us to focus our minds, our attention, on our attitudes, on different things than Dr. Steve. Here's what it says. Here's what God says. God's advice, his counsel. He says this. And I would say this to this lady who wrote in. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true. Meditate on things that are noble, things that are reputable, the authentic, things that are compelling and things that are gracious. Focus on those. Focus on the best, not the worst. Focus on the beautiful. Don't set your eyes on the ugly. Set your mind on things to praise, not things that you would rather curse. Gang, when it comes to being a Jesus freak, Paul is saying that our old life has to go, and God's life has to come in. And the first thing he puts his finger on is, watch where you get your advice. Don't go to the crowd. Don't go to the people around you. Don't let Oprah tell you how to live. Let the Word of God tell you how to live. Don't let Dr. Steve tell you how to live. Let the Word of God tell you how to live. Gang, when it comes to the world around us, the empty-headed, mindless crowd, we have to ignore. We have to cut out. We have to run away, you name it, from that kind of influence. But you've got to replace it with God's Word. You've got to replace it with God's counsel. You got to replace it with God's instruction. So I want to give you an action step this week. You want to be a Jesus freak? I do. Here's your action step. I want you to read this passage every single day this week. Every single day I want you to read this passage. I don't care if you got to lock yourself in the bathroom and sit on a pot. You read this thing this week, every day. Every day, 7 times. When I see you again, well, actually, I'll see you at fair all week long. I can stay on you all week long. This is good. You will have read this thing 7 times. You will have read the truth of God 7 times. That sounds good to me. That's a good start. And you're going to start to see different counsel that God has given than what the world has given. All right, let's move on to our freak instruction number 2. Verse 25 said this. What this adds up to, then, is this. No more lies. No more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In God's body, we're all connected to each other. After all, when you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Freak instruction number 2 is this. Honesty. Honesty in word, honesty in action, and you can put either word here. Honesty in thought or appraisal. Thought or appraisal, I'll take either one there. Okay, here we see quite plainly that the darkness of lying has to go in our lives. It's got to go. Lying, untruth, deception, half-truths, those are all darkness. It's all the world we're coming out of. And darkness has got to go. Get rid of it, Paul said. What we must deal with in our new life, what we replace that with is truth. We replace it with reality. We replace it with actuality. When I am counseling someone, I do a lot of counseling. When I'm counseling someone, the first thing I insist on is that they tell me the truth. You gotta tell me the truth. Let's just start there, okay? Don't gild the lily. Don't hold anything back. Don't leave anything out, because we're just going to waste time. Let's go for truth, reality, and actuality. Let's not waste time by leaving anything out. One of my good friends who I work on my car with and I really enjoy spending time with is a mechanic. And he works for a prominent dealership in the area, and what he won't tell anybody is that he's a brilliant mechanic. I taught him a lot when we've been together. And he told me a story that blew me away about leaving things out. They had a car come in, and it's a fancy car. And the car came in, it was pushed off to a couple other guys there in the shop, and they said, okay, what's wrong with the car? We can't get the reverse lights to go off. What do you mean, can't get the reverse lights to go off? We can't get the reverse lights to go off. No matter what we do, we can't get the reverse lights to go off. No problem. So the first guy goes, starts work on it, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Hey, what's going on with this car? They asked the owner. I don't know. We just can't get the reverse lights to go off. All right, that's it. Yeah. A day goes by, 8 hours. Reverse lights are still on. Day two, new mechanic, enter the picture. Get them going on it. You telling us everything we need to know about this car? Yeah, that reverse lights won't go off. They couldn't figure this thing out. I'm like, this makes no sense. My buddy says about 3 days before my buddy walked over and got involved in this process of putting the reverse lights out. Couldn't figure out how to get the reverse lights out. You can't ride around with your reverse lights on. The old days, that meant you were looking for a race. These days, it's just a pain in the neck. So my buddy looks at the schematic, the wiring thing, and like I said, he's a little brilliant when it comes to a wiring diagram. I know what the problem is. What? It's your rear view mirror. Rear view mirror. What? He lost his mind. He worked with Drew too many times this winter on that Camaro. What? Oh, it's up here. The owner said, you know what? About the time those reverse lights went on, I got the windshield replaced. And they took the rear view mirror off and put it back up there. And my buddy says, yeah, you know what? This car is so fancy that when you put this thing into reverse and the lights go on back there, it changes the dimmer setting on the rear view mirror. The wire is probably shorted out in there. Bang. Problem solved. Reverse lights off. My buddy's the genius. How much time would we have saved if this man would have told him I had my windshield taken out a week ago? Well, it's the same thing in our lives. What do you need to work on? Come on, just get it out. Come on. God sees. God knows. Don't waste time. Let's get on with this thing. Jesus freaks, let's go. We can do this. What needs to be worked on? We need truth in our lives. We need truth about where we are in our journey. Don't fake it with God. Give God the truth. This is where I need help, God. I'm struggling here. We need reality when it comes to, Lord, here's what I'm fighting in my world. Here's what's really hard for me. Be honest with God. We need to know what footsteps are really in front of us, and we need to know what's a fabricated mirage that will send us on a tremendous fall. We need actuality. You know, one of the core values of this church, it's funny the way it came because no one ever dreamed it up. It was this idea, come as you are. Basically, it was, don't be fake, just be yourself. Because you know what? We're all going to be ourselves, and if you're yourselves, we'll make this thing work. Let's all be ourselves, and let's all go become who God wants us to be. But let's be honest about who we are and help each other get to a better place. If you're addicted to drugs, admit it. Admit the truth, man. Don't leave those reverse lights on. You're not going to get nowhere. Jesus freaks tell the truth about where they're at. If you're struggling with obedience to God in an area, one particular area, admit it. Get it clean with God. If you lost your job, if you ruined your marriage, if you committed a crime, admit it. Paul says this, no more lies. No more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other after all. And when you lie to others, you really only end up lying to yourself. So tonight, we want to give you that opportunity to be honest with God. We have a communion table set. I'm going to ask Mr. Dan, and I'm going to ask Mr. Caleb to come down and man the stations for us. What I need you to do, if God is tugging at your heart, is be honest with God. Lord, I still have some darkness in there that's got to go. Maybe I got a lot of darkness in there that's got to go. But let's start with this. No more lies. No more pretense. No more getting your advice from the crowd. In the quietness of your heart, deal with God right now. Open it up. Say, okay, you got me, Lord. I didn't expect this tonight. But Lord, you're right. If I'm going to be a follower of you, if I'm going to be a Jesus freak, then I got to come clean. I'm struggling in this area. I need you to forgive me. I've fallen in this area. I need you to forgive me. I want to be washed clean. like we symbolized last Sunday, you can be washed clean tonight. Whole new forgiveness waiting for you from Jesus Christ simply by asking. So do that in the quietness of your heart and prepare yourself. And then, as the music plays, two lines come down front. Both stations have both elements that you need. Come down front, receive the bread, receive the cup. Because on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, as Dan and Caleb are going to do. They're going to take the bread and they're going to break it, just like Christ's body was broken for us. Come down, take the bread, take the cup. After you've done some work with God, straightened out some things in your heart. If there's one thing at this point, I would really like us to get our hands around in this series, repentance is not feeling bad about what we did. That's a different word. Repentance isn't being sorry for what we've done. That's another word too. What repentance is turning from it, not wanting to do that again. And that's what Paul is saying. You can't do that through sheer willpower. You can't. So Jesus Christ died on a cross. He did that to wipe away our sins, and he did that so that the Holy Spirit of God can live inside each one who welcomes him in, who admits their sins and says, Lord, I want you to clean me up. Be my Savior, my life preserver, the one who pulls me from the wreckage. Jesus says, don't ever forget what I did. He gave his life. His body was broken, put on a cross. And he says, when you eat the bread, remember, that was part of what happened that day. My body was broken for you. Let's take the bread together. And then the amazing pen that God signed this contract with was the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood was spilled, and God says, okay, that's the payment. It's all done. Anyone from here until the end of time who trusts in this, who believes that Jesus' death on the cross pays for their sins, I will give the Holy Spirit, and I will become their Father, and I will lead them to that God-fashioned life that Paul talks about. Take the cup and remember exactly what it is you're drinking. I'm going to ask the band to close out with just one more song, give you an opportunity to talk to God, give you an opportunity to thank him and just maybe connect with him as we close out the night.